just in time for the warmer weather, cool books to lug along to the beach and relax with, or anywhere else on summer vacation. Back with us is day-to-day book editor Karen Grigsby Bates. Karen, how about summer reads here?
Let's start with some biography, Alex. Flora Fraser is a well-known biographer with a book called Princesses, which is about the six, count them, six daughters of King George III. Now, in the United States, we remember him as the guy who lost the colonies for England in that unfortunate war from their perspective. But apparently he had this other warm, squishy domestic side where he was just in love with his children, especially his daughters, and loved them so much that he didn't want any of them to get married and leave the house and go away.
That sounds like other dads I've known. All right, what else?
We've got Jill Nelson's Finding Martha's Vineyard, African Americans at Home on an Island.
This is the place that Bill Clinton and other VIPs like to go summer off the coast of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. And it was actually a great destination well before Bill Clinton was even born. There have been African Americans on Martha's Vineyard since the mid-1800s. And this book, which you can see here, is part memoir and part family photo album, is just a very loving look at a place that the author likes to return to recharge her own spiritual batteries.
There's a cover photo here of an African-American family at the beach, and then below that, a cover of these just wonderful beach houses up on a kind of a bluff overlooking things. Okay, well, what about fiction? There must be some good stories out there.
There's actually some very good collections of short stories out there. The first one is Bodies in Motion. It's a first effort by Mary Jane Mohanraj. She herself is Sri Lankan, and it's a series of stories about two Sri Lankan families who have to grapple with changing roles and values as their generations go on, so that one of the motifs in this collection is how independent can the girls be? Because, of course, back home, they would not have been, but when Dad leaves and goes to teach at the University of Chicago, his parents look at him and say, "You're raising American girls." Well, they are American girls in a lot of ways, but that brings up its own set of problems. So this was beautifully written, very nicely done.
And the other short story collection?
The other collection is a book called I Got Somebody in Staunton by a young black writer named William Henry Lewis, and it's a collection that touches on race and how race affects us all. And one of his admirers is Edward P. Jones.
This is the Pulitzer Prize winner?
Yeah, he won a prize for the novel The Known World a couple of years ago. So not too shabby to have that kind of endorsement.
Yeah. How about Beach Mysteries?
Remember Colin Cotterill? We talked to him last winter about his first book, The Coroner's Lunch, and he promised there'd be a follow-up at that point.
And he's got one?
He does. It's called 33 Teeth, and actually it won't be out until late July, as I understand it, but it's the second in a series featuring Dr. Siri Paiboon, a French-educated Laotian surgeon who ends up being appointed the national coroner by the communist government of Laos. And in 33 Teeth, Dr. Siri has to figure out who or what has been killing people in his town. And he's getting help, as he did in the last book, from dead people who visit him in the middle of the night to say—
Apparitions,
to say, consider this, consider that. And in this one, he's actually stalking a murderer and annoying his communist overlords at the same time.
Okay. How about something for the kids?
We have a few books that are going to be listed on our website, but let me alert you to one of them, which is a really beautiful biography written by Paula Yu and illustrated by Dom Lee. It's aimed at kind of sort of elementary school age kids. It's called 16 Years in 16 Seconds, and it's the story of Sammy Lee, a Korean-American who fell in love with the notion of diving when he was a young child, but he had a problem. He didn't have access to the public pool in his hometown of Fresno, California.
Fresno doesn't have a pool? I mean, that's the hot part of California.
It is a hot part of California. And Fresno had a pool, but it didn't have a pool that was open to people of color in 1932. So young Sammy was allowed to swim on the one day a week when colored people, that would be with a small C, Alex, were allowed in. And that was the day that the pool was going to be drained anyway and cleaned before it was refilled and then segregated again.
And did he learn to dive?
He did. Not only did he learn to dive, Sammy Lee became the first Korean-American Olympic gold medalist at the 1948 Olympics in London. And he fulfilled his father's dream and became a doctor.
Is he still alive?
He is. He's very much alive. He lives here in Los Angeles, and Dr. Lee was one of the honorees who was chosen to carry the Olympic torch in Los Angeles last year.
All right. We should have time for just one more story, one more book. What have you got?
Well, Alex, I think since you're going to be on the road a lot doing stories this summer, it needs to be Road Food, which is the sixth edition of the 1977 classic by Jane and Michael Stern, who are very well-known food writers. It covers more than about 600 clam shacks, barbecue joints, pie houses, and hot dog stands around the country. And so if, when you're out there gathering information for your stories, you don't want to stop into another plastic fast food place, you need this in your car. Don't leave home without it.
Okay, I'm off to the bookstore, and you, dear listeners, can get the day-to-day list and a lot of other NPR summer reading suggestions by going to our website, npr.org. Karen, thanks again.
Always a pleasure, Alex.